Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with us today. We have a wonderful show in store for you. I have an amazing author I'm really looking forward to bring on to the show. She's really something special. But first, of course, we have our little section from my own book, Everyday Awakening, which is available at everydayawakeningbook.com. So let me just get started because I really need to bring on this guest quickly. So today's section is entitled, Being honest with ourselves about reality is how we empower ourselves. We all see life as we want it to be. Sometimes that is how it is. Many times it is not. Our vision of what is going on is often clouded by our desires. This is what causes us not to see the reality of life. Perhaps we want things to work out so badly that we ignore the warning signs in the relationships. Maybe we are so invested in our business we don't see the change in the market. Sometimes we ignore warning signs of poor health, not wanting to believe that we could be sick. The difference between our perception and reality is an important one to recognize. How do we become more in alignment with reality? It is about understanding ourselves and our desires. It is about knowing ourselves well enough to see our own biases. It is about being honest enough with ourselves that we want something so badly we could not be seeing clearly. This is not easy to do. It takes real courage to see life as it really is. The level of honesty about our own hopes, dreams, and desires must be high. It is easy to kid ourselves. It is easy to believe we really are seeing things accurately. It takes work to question ourselves and be willing to be open to receive the answer we don't want. None of us wants to hear that things are not as we desire. None of us intentionally wants to know that things are worse than we think. Yet, if we allow ourselves to be so brutally honest with ourselves, then we are empowered to do something about it. Then we can take the appropriate action. Then we can be prepared for what is to come, even if it is unpleasant. It is better to see life as it really is than to be surprised by what was in front of us the entire time. So where have you been kidding yourself? Where can you be a little more honest with yourself about what is going on so that you can take the next appropriate step? Being gentle with yourself around it, but be gentle with yourself around it, but be honest. So, I see loyal listener Patty checking in today already on the Facebook Live. Happy birthday, Patty. I hope you don't mind I'm telling everyone that. So this section of the book I wrote after a couple of incidences, while I was studying in my facilitation training program, I ended up working with a woman who I had an opportunity to work with her to hold groups and do stuff while I was still in training. She was in a totally different lineage. And I didn't really see the warning signs that she hadn't really been doing enough of her own work and that she wasn't really as stable as she presented until one day things blew up in my face and there was a big problem. And so that was like the first thing of like, Sam, you're not really seeing reality that's right in front of you. And even before that, there had been an incident where my teacher, the creator of the lineage that I'm a facilitator in now, had been down in Peru and he had a near-death experience. And he had come back and it took him a while. This is pre-pandemic. And he was kind of recuperating and stuff. And then he came out for the first time and he came to New York for a training with the facilitators. And then afterwards, I talked with my mentor whose house it was at, and he said, so what did you think about him? And I said, well, I mean, he seems like he was really happy to see everybody. He seems like he was doing better. And he was like, yeah, that appearances can be deceiving because he had a big problem afterwards and he had a panic attack and he was here for an extra week and couldn't fly back. And that, even though he seemed so excited to see us, and of course we wanted to believe that he's doing better, that he's recovered, that everything's okay, and the truth was that he wasn't. And that level of discernment is something that I know for myself personally has been a challenge over the years, but I see it. It's a more broad issue, which is why I wanted to write about it in the book, and why I felt like this section was really important, because so often, whether it's in a relationship, an intimate relationship, a relationship with a friend, a family member, something happening with our career, our business, or our passion, we really want to believe that everything's going well, that things are good, that things are actually better than they are. I mean, I know there are people out there who always see things worse than they are, but both seeing things worse than they are and seeing things better than they are, both can be a bit of a challenge rather than seeing the way things really are. Personally, I'd rather err, if I'm going to err on one side or the other, I'd rather err on the side of seeing things better than they are, because I believe that improves things. But really, if we can be completely neutral and present and really see either people or the situation in front of us as it really is, and not how we want it to be, that actually is the most empowered place that we can come from. That's when we can really take action that is necessary, do the things that need to be done in the particular situation. And so I just really wanted to impress upon people how much like this concept of being really honest with ourselves about reality, how truly important that is to how we live our life, and even just to question ourselves, like just ask yourself over this next week, like, am I seeing things the way they really are or how I want them to be? And I sometimes feel that just by asking the question, that helps us to maybe see things a little clearer, because then we question whether we are seeing it. And then maybe if we're not, it raises a little awareness around it and says, you know what? Maybe I'm not, or I'm not sure if I am. It's okay not to be sure. Let me really step back, feel inside. Am I really being neutral about this? Am I really being neutral about the person, the situation, what's going on in the world? And really take a step back and as best as we can to come from a place of neutrality. Now, look, I mean, I don't think there are any Buddhist monks listening to us. I don't think there are any people who have really achieved a very deep level, maybe my guest. But it's a challenge for all of us. But at least if we bring it into our awareness that this is a challenge for us, then there's an opportunity to perhaps see things more clearly. So that's the section from my book, Everyday Awakening. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you liked it, you can always find it in any bookstore. You can find it online. Just search for the title, Everyday Awakening, with my name, Sam Leibowitz. Of course, you can get it from the link, everydayawakeningbook.com. Thank you so much. All right. Now, it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show author and fellow psychonaut, Dr. Shelley Renee Joy. Shelley Renee Joy attended Rice University on a physics scholarship and graduated with a degree in electrical engineering. After graduation, she worked with Dr. John C. Lilly. Oh, I never met him, but he's always been a hero of mine, on interspecies communication, and pursued contemplative practice with very famous Buddhist monk Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche. She completed her doctorate in philosophy, cosmology, and consciousness at the California Institute of Integral Studies. She is the author of several books, including Turning the Mind and her latest book, Tantric Psychophysics, A Structural Map of Altered States and the Dynamics of Consciousness. Tantric psychophysics has been called a bold synthesis of ancient sacred science, modern physics, and neuroscience designed to open access to higher consciousness. Exploring tantric teachings from India and Tibet, Shelley presents a wide-ranging collection of practical techniques to induce altered states of consciousness for the exploration of heightened mystical states. She also shows how these theories and techniques are fully supported by modern biophysics, brain science, and quantum physics. And I do have my copy of the book right here. And it is my pleasure to welcome her to the show. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Shelley.
Sam, so happy to be here and be able to talk with you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today. So before we dive into the book, I would just love to know a little bit more about you. Like, what was it that sort of got you to gravitate to really pursue this, how would I describe it, these deeper questions and these deeper things in life? I mean, I was my first major in college was physics, and I'm always so curious about what is it that causes people like you and me to really want to know, like, what is it about the underlying structure of the universe? You know, what is life all about? What got you really curious?
Well, I would say that your introductory remarks really hit the nail on the head in a way that when people are challenged, when they have what they think are difficulties or problems, they usually can be transformed into something that's very positive. And in my case, I was born transgender. I'm a transgender woman. I didn't come out until I was almost 50 years old because the word wasn't even a word when I was young.
Yeah.
Nowadays, young transgender people have a lot more support. But somewhat like early on, I, of course, my parents told me I couldn't act like a girl or be a girl, and I was quite unhappy. I finally accepted it. But since a really young age, I felt like I was had a mental problem. As a child, you don't even know what that means. But I felt there's some problem going on. I need to try to understand myself. You know, am I crazy? I think quite often that would come up. Am I really crazy? So I wasn't. But like other trans people, like Bruce Jenner, who went for became a gold medalist Olympian, I focused on studying. I thought by really learning, studying in school and excelling, not only it would take my mind off my inner conundrum, but I wanted to try to fix myself and find out what the problem was. So I was raised by a fairly religious traditional family, Roman Catholic, and one of my early school experiences was being taught by the nuns that if you pray hard enough, God will answer your prayers. And of course, I prayed really hard to try to get an answer. How can I fix myself? Or why did you make me this way? it didn't really work, so I just threw myself into trying to understand science, but also art. I thought, you know, everything that is taught in school, if I learn enough, eventually maybe I, you know, nobody else seems to be able to help, my parents or my teachers. So it was always sort of a hidden dimension that was a problem, but a problem I thought maybe I could fix someday. So I was born also really quite intelligent, and I was able to really excel in school. In fact, I was kind of a space cadet. In high school, I built a linear ion accelerator. It's like a small particle accelerator. And I won a science fair contest, and I was accepted to MIT, where I really wanted to go, but I got a full scholarship to Rice University, which is also quite a good school. But yeah. They also paid me to go there.
Yeah.
So my parents said, oh, you should go there. Otherwise, we have to pay tuition. And they were moving to Texas and MIT's in Massachusetts. So Rice is in Houston.
Nice.
So anyway, I went to Rice and I started studying physics. And after a year, I shifted to mathematics, which I found it really fascinating.
Mm.
And in my third year, I shifted to electrical engineering because I was interested in communication. And trying to understand maybe how the brain works with electricity. And I started getting interested in my fourth year because I married a woman, even though I felt like a woman. I was always attracted to women too. I felt a more affinity with them, and it was easy to communicate. And so I fell in love, more of a platonic love, but we went to California just before my final year, and she was an artist, so we gravitated towards artists and hippies in California.
Yeah.
It was 1967,
wow.
And it was a summer of love, and they talked me into the LSD on the beach at night near Big Sur. Well, I had read about in magazines, Life and Time magazine, that people taking LSD often say they talk to God. So I thought, here's my chance to find out, you know, really what the secret, why I was given this fascinating and confusing challenge.
Okay, Shelley, why don't we hold it there?
On the beach.
Wait. When we hold it there, I want to keep our audience on edge because we got to go to a break. But when you come back, tell us about what happened on that experience, okay?
Sure.
All right, great. So everybody, please stay tuned. You got to hear the rest of this story. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over Facebook. And we will be right back with Dr. Shelley Joy after these messages.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Dr. Shelley Renee Joy, author of the book, Tantric Psychophysics. So Shelley, if you could please continue the story. You kind of being born a transgender person, you kind of questioning things, you wanted to know, like, what could you do about it? You end up married on a beach in California and in the late 60s. And you have opportunity to do LSD. And what happened in that experience? And just a reminder to unmute yourself. And to everybody listening, I know you can't see her, the bandwidth issues with Shelley, so she's just on audio. So go ahead, doctor.
Okay, yeah. Well, I live way up in the mountains in Northern California, so I have very poor internet, so I can't use my video. But that night on the beach was, anyone who's experienced entheogens know it's hard to describe. Of course, there were a lot of colors and amazing visual and sounds, but there was more than that. It was like other senses came to the forefront, senses that you really are. We really don't have words for a lot of them. They're ways of sensing in other dimensions. And the theme was communication. I could actually felt like I was touching other entities, other conscious entities, maybe outside of space and time. I don't know. I was, as a trained scientist, I was trying to really observe what was happening, but I was sort of blown away, as they say, by the reality of it. I heard about hallucinations, which people say, oh, they're not real, they're like dreams. It was much more vivid than the normal dreams that I had up to that point. And it was just, it seemed to go on for more than hours. It was like days in those dimensions communicating with other entities. So to sort of skip ahead, it opened up my awareness and interest in what is the physics of consciousness? How can we manipulate our awareness? How can we do this without drugs? Or what other drugs can I try to see what other things I can experience? And what can I learn from all of this? So I went back to school that fall, and my grades really suffered that semester because I experimented with psilocybin mushrooms and ayahuasca. Not ayahuasca, that was more recently, but several things, peyote even. I went to a Native American church meeting, and these were real to me, real dimensions. And I was surprised that scientists and the science seemed to be totally uninterested in trying to explore them. They would dismiss them as, drug experiences. Well, yeah, right. Everything is a drug experience. When we eat food, food is a drug experience. My God, food affects the way you think and feel, and it keeps you alive. And what are drugs? They're same as food. They're hydrocarbons. They're very complex molecules. And the physics of it is when they break down in your bloodstream, they release their own unique energy bandwidths, frequencies of radiant energy that interacts with your own self. And so after I graduated, I moved to New York City and found lots of teachers. I would go to lots of seminars and bought lots of books on as many things as I could to understand consciousness.
You must have stopped by Weiser's Bookshop. That was a real popular one back then.
I lived two blocks from Weiser's Bookshop, and I would go there every Saturday morning. That's where I discovered the books of Rudolf Steiner.
Steiner.
Which I got quite a few of. And Rudolf Steiner he lived about 100 years ago and got quite a following in Europe and the world. He actually was an engineer too. Most people don't realize.
Oh.
He graduated from the Vienna Institute of Technology. And the Vienna Institute of Technology was kind of like we have a couple of schools that are similar, which mainly train engineers and scientists. But he also, when he was young, he lived in the forest area near Vienna, and he apparently made friends with somebody who was called an herbalist. He would go out camping, and I think the herbalist had a small cabin way up in the forest, and apparently had experiences with entheogens also. They weren't, you know, illegal back then. In fact, Freud was one of his contemporaries and was really heavy into cocaine and things like that. But Steiner, I believe the drugs for Steiner, like in my situation, opened him up to direct experience of what he called the higher worlds. Steiner calls them the higher worlds. In my research over the last 40 years, I've been studying all these things, trying to connect science and physics with experiential mysticism, let's say. And when we talk about mysticism, usually scientists dismiss it. Oh, that's mysticism or something. You know, they dismiss yogis and people in Tibet. But to me, the people in India and Tibet and China, the Taoists, they were the scientists of the inner worlds. They were scientists exploring consciousness directly. That was their main interest, whereas Western science has gone into the external world. You know, the space and time, things you can measure and see. And it's great for developing, the internet and iPhones and weapons, which are now today being used in Ukraine. So,
unfortunately,
But I really have always tried to, as I got older and I finally got a PhD in consciousness studies, I've tried to support and explain the experiences of mystics and saints, people who explore consciousness, trying to support them with principles of science. And I found so many connections that really make sense. So I could really maybe jump to try to explain what I've learned and put together over the years. I would say that there are other dimensions that we can link with and explore, and they will make you a healthier, richer, more functional self. It turns out that there are, apparently, according to string theory and M theory, which are the basis of modern quantum mechanics, there are 11 dimensions. 11 dimensions. Some say there's 12, and more recently they say there may be others. They came to this conclusion by finding that mathematics that supports the results of accelerator experiments, the cyclotrons and the Large Hadron Accelerator and things like that, where they smash electrons, protons, and neutrons together, and they take photographs of the little subparticles that come off from the explosions. The only way to explain subparticles was by positing additional dimensions beyond the four dimensions of space and time. You know, time is one dimension and space is three. X, Y, and Z, if you look at them geometrically. And we live mostly in space-time with our brain cells and our neurological cells. But when you go into radiant energy, like electromagnetic radiation and plasma, there are multiple other dimensions. And I believe that these, what Steiner called the higher worlds, are other dimensions. And we live within all of the dimensions. As human beings, up to this point, we mostly are only aware of the four dimensions of things that our eyes can see, our ears can hear, maybe our nose can smell, and we can touch. But there are other dimensions, and those are the ones that you begin to experience if you do take psilocybin or LSD or MDMA. I mean, a lot of things open up your sensory range a little bit, are a lot wider in most cases.
So,
I think really that everybody should experience these things, and they can, but it takes taking drugs is one quick way, but not probably the best way. Maybe just to get a little taste of it and to show people that they're real, these other dimensions. But practicing traditional forms of meditation and contemplation are the best practical ways to catalyze and open up and grow these other senses.
Yeah, I know
you know something about the chakras.
Yes.
I'll talk about that if you want.
Well, it's time for us to take our next break. But before we go to break, just really, really quickly, I just have to know, how did you get ahead of an opportunity to work with Dr. John Lilly, and what was he like? But like, keep it short, because we got to go to break soon.
Yeah, well, I was working as a student programmer at the Point Mugu Missile Range in California that summer of 67. And I would go out to the pier and where they trained porpoises. They had porpoises. And I used to see this man there on the pier with me during lunch break. And I started talking with him, and it turned out we were both ham radio licensed operators because we loved communication. His name was John Lilly. He was there because they had bought his porpoises. They had closed research with porpoises in the Virgin Islands. He would take LSD with the porpoises and try to communicate. He called it interspecies communication. Well, now the Navy, the government shut down his LSD research, so the Navy got his porpoises. They were training the poor porpoises to carry bombs and into Haiphong Harbor and put them on the ships. It was really sad.
Yeah.
I was kind of upset about it, obviously. But then I met him again in New York City when I moved to New York after I graduated. And he showed me how to build meditation chambers, these sensory deprivation chambers, very dark. Mm-hmm. I built one in my Lower East Side loft. I lived on the Lower East Side.
Oh.
And it turned out they're really good for meditating. Traditional yogis and meditating caves where it's dark and quiet. And John Lilly then shifted his focus to exploring the inner worlds.
What
Steiner would call the higher worlds, and what I call now other dimensions, the other dimensions of quantum physics that we live within.
Right,
we're sort of like in an ocean of consciousness that extends into all of these other dimensions. Only our senses have not quite yet evolved to perceive these things.
Right,
unless we take the crush of drugs.
Okay.
Or we develop them through prayer.
Okay. So let's leave it there for the moment. When we come back, I want to really dig into your book. I just want to also, if you would, when we come back, we're going to define the terms both tantric and psychophysics, because it may not necessarily mean what people think they mean. And then I really want to talk about what you learned about sort of the Eastern traditions in Hinduism and Buddhism, and how modern quantum physicists like David Bohm really started, how things started to come together. Okay,
sure.
All right, great. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after this.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. We've been speaking this hour with Dr. Shelley Joy, author of the book Tantric Psychophysics. Dr. Joy, let's just define the term for our audience. When you say tantric psychophysics, what is tantric and what is psychophysics? Because, you know, sometimes we get a certain idea in our head from words.
I would say, in fact, I thought of the first idea for the title of my book was The Science and Art of Cosmic Communication. Tantric psychophysics actually was more in line with things I had also studied. I actually got a master's degree in Indian philosophy after living in New York for a while. I was trying to understand Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, and I found so many different translations of even a single sentence that I felt I needed to be able to at least know the Sanskrit alphabet to be able to look up words in the Sanskrit dictionary and really get a feeling for what these people were trying to talk about. So I learned about Tantra when I started studying Sanskrit and Indian philosophy. It actually in the West has a really wrong impression, and in Britain too, I suppose. People think immediately that Tantra is the yoga of sex, and they think of the statues showing Maithuna, which is sexual intercourse, very graphic and descriptive, but really Tantra means a lot more than that, and sex could be a part of it, drugs are a part of it, but basically what Tantra means is anything that works, anything that is empirically found to help catalyze consciousness in the individual to the perception of the higher worlds or the inner dimensions or the higher self or the collective consciousness, things like that. Tantra actually means weaving. And the idea is that you weave different threads of knowledge. In my case, I'm weaving quantum mechanics and neurophysiology and art and meditation and yoga and Taoism and all of the different religions. The more that you understand in different subject areas, the more you can get a wider perspective and weave things together into a more meaning whole cloth of understanding. So that's my take on Tantra and why I use that word. Psychophysics is something that is fairly new. Using science to try to understand consciousness, but not only understand the physics of consciousness, you know, once you understand it to some extent, you can become like an engineer. I mean, I'm an engineer of electromagnetic fields. My particular engineering deals with invisible things. Electricity and electromagnetic fields and plasma are all invisible to our senses, but they're real, just like consciousness is real. But most modern neurophysiologists think that it only comes from nerves. The nerves in our body, the neurological system works. But really what I've discovered is that, and more people are beginning to believe that consciousness is much more than just the nervous system. Right. Many people think it's part of the plasma of the human body, that each one of us is sort of like a glowing entity. You could call it a soul or a etheric, the etheric double. When you look at a human with a sniper scope or night vision goggles, they're looking at the infrared energy coming out of a human being. So right. You can actually, with one of those vision goggles, see people glowing in the dark. So why are we glowing? Because we're radiating energy in the infrared region. Just below visible light. And It has the capacity to carry lots of information. You can carry a lot more information with these higher frequencies than you can with even radio waves. So I believe that consciousness is intimately part of our bloodstream system, much more than the nervous system. That we actually have 60,000 miles of capillaries in our body. And the areas that have the most capillaries are the areas that correspond to what the Indians call in Sanskrit chakras.
Right.
And a chakra, for instance, say the chakra in your, even your abdomen, there's a chakra right in the center behind your navel, more or less. It's an area that's rich with capillaries. It's also rich with nerves. It's a lot of nerve plexes and endocrine system. So these are very complex regions. They're fairly small, you know, just a few inches in diameter maybe, but they're actually act like distributed brains, like little centers of consciousness that do things for you.
Right.
Not your neuronal brain, your laptop up in your head, having to worry about it. So we never think about regulating our heartbeat, digestion. These areas are areas that the mystics have discovered by focusing on them in meditation every day or regularly. They begin to grow, and at some point they start to sense some of these other dimensions that Steiner talks about, that John Lilly talks about even. And it's not only in Asia, in Taoism and Tibet and South India. It's also part of the Christian tradition and the Jewish tradition. There's a lot of mystics in the West who have focused on the heart, for instance. In my Catholic tradition, they call it the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But by in the throat, there's a throat chakra.
Yes.
By focusing on the particular area, the capillaries dilate, and the more blood goes to that area, that area gets warmer, it gets rich with food, and also conversely, it pulls away the toxins because you have more blood flow, and it starts to nourish that chakra area, and they become more sensitive and more active. And according to the mystics and some of my own experiences, they begin to act like ways of communicating with other dimensions of consciousness. And sometimes you can see in an individual human that one chakra area sort of fights against another area. You know, some of the scandals of politicians, their very bottom chakra, the one that's at the bottom of their...
the root chakra,
they're just above it. They can't control it in a way, you know. Even though they know it will ruin their career, they can't help themselves. Well, also with people who eat too much, maybe, and they just focus on food so much, the chakra in their belly may be gaining a preponderance of influence over the whole body.
Right.
And there's people whose throat chakra, maybe they talk too much. Sometimes I worry about my own chakra in my throat. And the heart chakra is often said to be the center of compassion and love and altruism. And it's one of the real primary ways of communicating with the higher self, or God, or the implicate order. I think you wanted me to talk about David Bohm a little bit.
Let's wait on that because we need to take one last break before we finish the show off. There were a lot of things you said that bring so much to mind, like how doctors lately have found like there's a neural network in the heart and in the gut, not just only in our brain, so that we actually in a way have three brains, not just one brain. And this whole idea of consciousness, of where is the seat of consciousness in the body, and that people talk about the pineal gland, the third eye, and things like that, and whether the brain is a generator of consciousness or is it a receiver of consciousness. So let's hold it there for the moment. When we come back, let's talk about that, whether we're generators or receivers, And then how does the modern physicists like Bohm sort of bring together this ancient mysticism into modern times? Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back with Dr. Shelley Joy after this.
Join us every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for The Mind Behind Leadership, where we focus on what leadership really means to us and to others. We have practical discussions with the CEOs of some of the world's largest companies, owners of small businesses, and experts in psychology and behavior to get that inside track, what to do, what to avoid, or what really happens. Join me, Graham Dobbin, at the new time, 4 p.m. every Tuesday for The Mind Behind Leadership, here live on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Dr. Shelley Joy, author of the book Tantric Psychophysics. So, Dr. Joy, as I finished up last segment, I was just asking you, and we don't have a lot of time in this last segment, but just this idea of, from your explorations, are we generators of consciousness, or are we actually receivers of consciousness?
I would say we're more like transducers of consciousness. In other words, there is one consciousness in the universe, that consciousness is what Carl Jung called the self, with a capital S, the one self, the one being. Olaf Stapleton called it the star maker. Or many religions call it God. Right. And so there's one self, and we are that self. In fact, the Upanishads in India, a famous saying is that you are God, I am God, we are God. But we don't know it, because we are little diffractions of God. You know how when light goes into a prism, one of these glass prisms, it's diffracted into so many colors of the rainbow. And that's actually many, many, many frequencies. Each one is separate by a tiny, tiny wavelength. They're all unique. So it starts out as the one light. Now, David Bohm, the famous physicist, he wrote one of the handbooks on quantum mechanics that was used for many, many years. He was a kind of a black sheep in science and among physicists. Mm-hmm. Although he was a genius, he believed that consciousness was an important thing to explore. And he believed that consciousness exists primarily in these other dimensions, not in space and time. That the consciousness that we have, or we experience as humans, is just a little, it's like a diffraction. We are little bits of that consciousness. We are like peripherals on a large computer system. We're looking at the universe from a unique perspective. So it allows the one self, the big capital self, to experience his, her universe and create things through all of these little tiny different webcams. So in a way, we're like little webcams, and the one self, you could call it God, if you don't put me on a hit list or something,
yeah.
is actually looking through us. The consciousness is looking through us from deep within, deep within, really tiny dimensions. And it's the tiny dimensions of wavelengths that are the highest frequencies. If anyone understands a bit about frequencies and electromagnetic waves, the smaller the wavelength, the higher the frequency.
Frequency, yeah.
High frequencies carry frequency. More information. Yeah. So the highest information collection is down there, extremely way smaller at sub-quantum dimensions, below, much smaller than an atom even, or an electron. Mm. And out of that comes, that's where David Bohm thought consciousness was primarily at the lowest dimensions, at the center gotcha. Everywhere,
gotcha.
Looking out.
Gotcha.
So that consciousness is looking through us, through our right. eyes, and it's our brains that act like a local computer, like a desktop computer. And that computer thing, until you're able to connect to an internet, and then you realize, oh, there's all kinds of other brains out there, and we can connect and communicate. So communication right. is the key.
Right.
And it's hard to describe this in an hour because I've
read yes.
17 books
yeah.
that try to get close to it. And I'm still writing. I keep trying to make it more clear. I really try to put a lot of illustrations in the book so that
yes.
people can grasp some of the concepts.
Right. So I was
doing calculus.
Yes. I noticed you really get into a lot of deep subjects in the book. You talk a lot about, I love the section on Gurdjieff and on the physics end of thing, having studied physics, but for a lot of people that can be a little too much. What is it? Why did you write this book? Like you said, you've written 17 books. Like, why another book? And what is it that you hope people get out of this book? Like, what is your intention behind it of how we can use this information in a day like today when, you know, there's all kinds of things going on in the world?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important that people learn that they can connect to God, or can connect to the other dimensions. They can connect to each other on a higher bandwidth, a higher level, that Teilhard de Chardin calls it the noosphere, the thinking envelope of the earth, that we're not separate. We're all connected to one another and to God, which is our real self. And Tantra right. psychophysics, which I would have called the science and art of cosmic communication, I've tried to gather together in one book all of the most important ways, techniques that people can practice to practice meditation and contemplation in order to get in touch with their deeper self, that deepest self that is connecting all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it will heal them, you know, it will heal their anxiety, their fear. It will help people find out who they really are. And so I was trying to not only collect all of these techniques that were important from Tibet and India and Christianity and Judaism and Taoism, but I'm trying to give them a scientific basis for those who are interested in science. A lot of people into science move away from religion, the religion of their childhood.
Right,
and
right.
I'm trying to show them that it means rethinking. Religion is, you know, religion means reconnecting to your real self and to the universe and the cosmos.
Right. So it's not really about changing. So you're not out to change anybody's beliefs per se, but it's about using what's already in our backgrounds, how we were already raised, using what we already know, and to be able to go deeper, to be able to connect, to have sort of that direct experience as opposed to going through any kind of intermediary.
Definitely. And it's not throwing away what you learned as a child, whether you're a Roman Catholic or a Baptist or a Hindu or a Muslim. It's going back to your childhood beliefs and expanding upon them, and seeing how they are not counterintuitive with science and with mysticism, and that we can learn. The more we learn, the more we have freedom from fear, and we have more techniques for enriching our life and bringing more peace to our communities. Through understanding about why we're here, where we're going, and who are we? Who are we as individual conscious entities? Mm-hmm. So I've gotten a pretty good response to my book, and I keep trying, as I said, to write more clearly so that more people can avail themselves of. I'm not adding anything new. I'm just sort of using the tantric practical techniques of pulling information together from many, many sources and weaving it into a fabric, a cloth of understanding that will help people on their whatever path they're on, whatever, you know. Everybody has to develop their own technique of prayer and their own technique of contemplation. Yeah, they can't blindly follow somebody else's way because we're all unique.
Right.
Extremely
right.
Beautifully unique.
Right. Dr. Shelley, I really appreciate the effort that you made and bringing so much amazing material together in one book. Again, the name of the book is Tantric Psychophysics. It's available in all the major bookstores and publishers. Dr. Joy, if somebody wants to learn more about you, do you have a website? Do you have some place online that people can go to learn more about your teachings?
Yes, I have a website that has about a dozen recordings of interviews and a lot of my paintings. I'm also a painter of abstract paintings, and information on my books is shelleyjoy.net, shelleyjoye.net, or you can Google my name, Shelley Joy, or find 17 of my books on Amazon.com. So,
all right.
I hope whatever I've done, all my work, some people.
Wonderful.
And I'll your show.
Well, thank you so much. And I appreciate, you know, all the work you've done. And I hope if your travels take you back to New York City one day in the future, you look me up so we can meet face to face and have a very long, long, long conversation.
Certainly will. Yes, Sam. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each and every week. Patty, again, a big shout out to my loyal listener, Patty, for happy birthday, Patty, and I hope you're having a good one. So please stay tuned to all the other great shows on the network coming up later today. Frank Harrison with the show Frank About Health at 5 p.m. having a great panel discussion on social justice in the healthcare system with a couple of amazing guests. And as well as his regular guest, Retha Gray. And thank you all. We will talk to you all next week.
NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Hi.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Informed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.